I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
the Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. My boys are grown now, but when they were young, one of our favorite things to do is pile them on our king-size bed. We'd gather them all together. We would catch up on their lives. We'd tell jokes and we'd laugh. And sometimes we'd take opportunities to talk about the things of God. And I remember one particular time when we're all kind of gathered on the bed and talking and laughing. And I said, hey, I have a question for you. If someone promised to put an endless supply of money into a bank account with your name on it, would you just let it sit there? Knowing what they would say, or would you draw from it when you needed it? Of course, my boys went all over the place. I'd buy a skate park. I would do this. I would do that. And they just kind of would dream and dream about what they would do if they had this never-ending supply. And then I said, well, you know what? God has promised us something more important than an endless supply of cash. He's promised us an endless supply of wisdom to those who ask Him. It's really like the best-kept secret in the Bible. And here it is, James 1, 5 and 6. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He'll give it to you. He'll not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Think about that. God offers us more wisdom than we can possibly appropriate in our lifetime. But when we ask for wisdom, we're asking for God's will, God's way, for His glory. We're not looking for plan A, B, and C, and then picking which one works best for us, right? What a gift God's offered us by offering us His wisdom. Well, that's what we're talking about today. Our friend Liz Curtis Higgs joins us. She, for the longest time, would be on the show once a month for us. And there she had some travels and different things going on. And so we had to push pause, but we're so grateful to get her back on today. We're talking wisdom. We're drawing from her book. It's a book that I actually endorse. It's a beautiful hardcover book, 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path. We've got three copies to give away. If you want in on the drawing, you know, Lizzie's probably one of the few, honestly, Christian authors that I know who is hugely successful both in fiction and nonfiction. And I think her storytelling ability in her fiction translates so beautifully in her nonfiction. So everything you read of hers, you feel like you're pulled into story. I love this book, 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And I always love it when you engage in the conversation. So you got questions, comments, I want to hear from you. Go ahead and text. You could also email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Quick announcement before we hear from Lizzie. We've just got a few days before our Northwestern Christian Writers Conference, and I want you to join us if you have a dream to be published. You know, Lizzie was our keynote, I think, first and second year. We want to see you. It's a great conference. We have moved it online this year because of COVID, but we are so set up to set you up to succeed. So our one-on-one appointment with agents and editors will be live via Zoom. Our pro advice rooms will be live via Zoom. And then the pre-recorded breakouts, you get access to all of them. Karen Kingsbury is our keynote, and then Dr. Alicia Britt Scholey, our keynotes. I really pray that you join us. If you want to take some next steps in your dream to be published, you got to join us. You'll find more information on our website at myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Liz Curtis Higgs has one goal, to help people embrace the grace of God with joy and abandon. She's the author of 37 books with 4.6 million copies in print, including this nonfiction bestseller we're talking about today, 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path. She currently serves as a director of women's ministry at her church in Louisville, Kentucky, where she lives with her husband, Bill, and their two grown children. Lizzie, welcome back to the show.
What a blessing. What a treat. And I giggled because I bet you didn't even know I'm the director of the women's ministry team at my church.
Well, I actually knew that because you and I had talked and prayed
when you were presented
with the opportunity. And this was like one of those things where that wasn't your plan, but it seemed that God was making it clear that He was His plan.
It was God's plan. And I'm so sorry I had forgotten we got to talk about that. There are many, many of my friends in speaking and writing that just because of COVID, I haven't connected with it to even say, hey, y'all, I have this other job.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait. And that, go ahead. I was going to say, that's going to tie in well to some of the verses we're digging in today.
Uh-huh. Oh, it is. Here's the thing. First of all, you probably want me to have a verse for you. Isn't that how we're supposed to begin?
This is exactly right.
helping my friend do her own show, right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, since we're parked in Proverbs today, here's another one I love. It's not covered in the book, but it's a powerful verse. Proverbs 16:9 says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but," and Susie, you know how I love the word but, mm-hmm. "the Lord establishes their steps." In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. And so that's what we're really going to talk about today is our plans versus, as it were, God's plans. They are often very different, and no year more than this year have we all collectively had this experience of having plans that we've had to put aside because what we're dealing with is entirely different than any of us planned. Nobody on their 2020 calendar had pandemic, not one person. And so here we all are, and we're looking at what we're dealing with, and we're wondering, where is God in this? How do I lay down my plans? Because I'm a planner. Susie, are you a planner?
Oh, very much a planner. Yes, I have first, second, and third lists. I have calendars out to 2022.
Yes,
I am.
Ma'am.
I'm a planner.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I'm just curious just because. How do you do it? Is it on your phone? Is it in some physical book that you write in? What do you do?
Well, I have a color-coded calendar, and then I have a desktop.
I knew you were color-coded. I knew it.
But this isn't about me. Let's go back to you.
Oh, no. I love hearing it because the more organized you are about your planning, the harder it is to let that go because there is no color for pandemic. There is no way to plan for what we've been dealing with, and all the fallout, all the education pieces, the school, the work, the money, the million things that are affected by it. None of us had this in our plans, but what we have to wrap our heads around is it was not a surprise to God, not a surprise. And so he has a plan, but let's be honest, if any of us know what it is, I'll hang up immediately and please interview that person who knows what the plan is. I don't know the plan, Susie. I only know the one who knows the plans. And the plans are good. But if all the things we're being asked to do right now, to me, the hardest thing is to lay down my plans. People have said online, you know, if you bought a 2020 planner, you know, one of those really fancy ones, by now it's been ditched. It's in the trash somewhere. And do we even dare buy one for 2021? Seriously, it's not just a question of is it going to be another week or another month. We just don't know. So what we have to rest in is the right now. God is so faithful that he, when I wrote 31 Proverbs, it was 3 years ago it was released. It was, in fact, my last book. Cancer had a way of messing things up for me for writing. But I turned in the manuscript for 31 Proverbs in June of 2017, and within a week or so is when my cancer was diagnosed. So I had no idea when I was choosing all these verses from Proverbs. So many of them have something to do with our plans versus God's plans. Then I just laughed. I said, Lord, you were preparing my heart for this. Who could possibly know? Only the Lord could know. He does prepare our hearts for what's to come, but we have to get in his word to read that preparation. He doesn't, you know, like pour it into our heads while we sleep. We actually have to do the work of opening the Bible or opening Bible Gateway Online or whatever your favorite way is to access the Word. What we need is in there. We just have to make time for it. So in his goodness, he's given us time for his Word. That is one thing you can say absolutely we've had in 2020 is time to get in his Word.
Well, that is true. We're going to pause here, and we're having a little bit of technical issue hearing, Liz. You're kind of disconnecting and connecting, so I don't want to miss a word that you have to say. So we're going to try to reconnect with Liz. But I would love to know from you, friend, how has 2020 impacted you? As you're listening to Lizzie talk, I mean, you had your plans, and then COVID happened, civil unrest happened. What do you sense God saying to you, and how is he reestablishing you I would love to know. I'd love to be able to share what wisdom God's given you. Talking to Liz Curtis Higgs, her book that we're drawing from today is 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path. When we come back, we're going to talk about Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. What does that mean? It might surprise you. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. Play out a little bit. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. You know, I think if any one of us were honest, we would say right here, right now, that there are parts of our lives that didn't turn out exactly the way we thought they would up to this point. But the story is not over yet. You know, my friend Jody said to me years ago, if the story's not good yet, it's because God's not done yet. We're talking today about the wisdom of God. Man makes his plan. God determines his steps. And you know, it doesn't mean he sends evil on his children, but he does allow hardship, and he allows the twists and turns, and they refine us, and they teach us. Talking to our friend Liz Curtis Higgs today, we're drawing from her book, 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path. I love this book. I endorsed it. I've got a few copies to give away if you want in on the drawing. She's just so easy to read. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. So, Lizzie, let's talk about your first chapter titled Morning by Morning, and it's based on Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Break that one down for us.
Yeah, well, don't you love that it's the path of the righteous? It's a pathway, not an expressway.
Right.
And if it's a path like the morning sun begins in darkness. One of my favorite things to do in the morning is to actually note what time sunrise is and set my alarm for before that, so that I can watch the sunrise. There's just something about watching the world go from darkness to light. It does it for me every time. And I love that God is saying the path of his people, the righteous, is like the morning sun. So it begins darkness. And I feel like right now we're kind of dealing with some darkness, some shadows. We don't know what's next. But we are promised that our path is going to get brighter and brighter until the full light of day. There will come a time, and it may not be until the other side, when all of this will make sense to us. What we have to do is be willing to walk in the dusk or in the pre-dawn, whichever time of day you want to talk about, or it's not bright yet, to walk in those shadows, knowing that God is marking out the path for us, and we can trust him in it. Because it's hard. It's hard to walk in the dark. I want a very clear path that's very well paved with nothing that's going to make me trip and a bright light on it, then I'm happy. My husband likes to go walking up into the hills where the paths are not well lit. In fact, they're not lit at all. They're full of roots and twists and turns, and I know I'm going to kill myself on those. I don't like those paths. But our lives are a whole lot more like that than they are like that well-lit, neatly laid brick path. That's just not what it's like. It is a trusting piece. And so we got to trust him through it. And I think that's scary, but it's also kind of exciting. Whatever our experience we're going through, here's what I want everybody to remember. We are still his people. He is still our God. Nothing will ever change that. Nothing. Nothing that's going on is going to change who we are in him and who he is in us.
Amen and amen. You know, and a couple of things I'm thinking about as you're talking, Lizzie, is one is thy word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Scripture says his word lights that path for us, but it also says we've got this light shining in our hearts. And I just think it's so powerful when you think God has put a light at our feet and he's shined his light in our hearts. Now we have what we need. We want to see the long, you know, the long road, but he's like, I've given you grace. I've given you my power. I've given you my insight. And I think that's so powerful. Say a word about the path of the righteous, because it doesn't say the path of those who behave perfectly from day to day. I mean, of course, our conduct matters, but talk about what that passage actually means there.
Yeah, righteousness is being right with him. It is not doing everything right, because I don't know a soul who actually would qualify for that. But being right with God is what righteousness is. And so it's never about our rightness, but about his righteousness. Because of that, only because of that, so grace and more grace, we are called righteous. It's a word I have a real hard time using about myself. But I see it in others. I'll say, now there's a righteous woman because she's so full of the Lord. But the righteousness is his, not ours. You talked about all the things he gives us. And of course, the greatest gift he gave us is his son, who said, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And that follows me really helps, because that path in front of us, it's not this empty path where you're looking and it's scary. The one walking in front of you is Jesus. So if we can hang on to the hem of his garment and trust him to keep us from falling off the path, we are going to be going in the right direction, whether it's brightly lit or shadowy. But he has to go first. And I know, you know, it's one of those kind of holy things that Christians say, oh, put God first. But never in a time like this have we had to do that more intentionally. Because everywhere I look, I don't see him being put on a pedestal at all. And so those of us who are called righteous by him, not by each other, this is our chance to show people what that looks like. And it means we're following hard after Christ. We are not running down that path, skipping and throwing flowers in the air and saying, aren't I amazing? It's just the opposite. We are crawling behind our Savior, low, low, like the woman who reached out for the hem of his garment. I always think of that. You know, she went under the radar. She didn't want anybody to see her as she reached for his garment. Well, that's us. We are in his shadow. We're standing behind him, our source of light, so we know where to go. So it's a humbling thing rather than a prideful thing.
Indeed. You're right. This morning by morning, we may not see any noticeable improvement in our thought patterns or behavior, but as we read God's word, as we worship, as we pray, as we fellowship with other believers, as we serve him with gladness, as we give away our resources to help others, the light of his love continues to rise in our hearts until it shows in our words and it shines on our faces. You even say that by the nature of the maturing process, we begin each day with more knowledge, more wisdom, more experience than we had the day before. So for those who love God, the longer they live, the brighter they shine. I want you to say a word about that, because it is so easy to get caught up in the moment of the everyday stuff that comes at us. But if you think about it, we wake up to a new day, to new mercies, some acquired wisdom from the day before and the journey behind us. I mean, we've got a lot of reason to be confident in who Christ is in us. Do you know what I mean? He set us up to make this journey all the way through.
Yeah, he did. And again, we're back to getting the word of God in us. Every day we read even a single verse. We're, I hope, going to touch on five today. But honestly, if we took one verse, grabbed onto it, tore it apart and put it back together, and ate it like manna in the morning, if we started our day with that one powerful, life-changing verse, if you do that every day, it's just like nutrition. You know, you are what you eat. Well, you also are what you read. And if we put the word of God in us every day, we're just a little bit wiser. Bill and I giggle because we now are of a certain age, which shall not be mentioned. But, although that's silly, why would we hide our age? I love my age. I'm 66, Bill 68. So we are sort of actually in the middle of things. We have lots of people at our church older and lots who are younger. But what's fun for us is seeing the younger people turning to us for wisdom. And we giggle and we don't have any wisdom. But the truth is, you know, I mean, you just don't feel wise. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, we are, because every day we're putting the word in, putting the word in, putting the word in, and other stuff passes through our ears and goes right back out. But the word is like a seed planted in our heart. It bears fruit, and we don't really see it. You know, I'm sure, oh, Susie, when I am with you, you are just aglow with Jesus. I mean, it's one of the many reasons I love you. Your talent is it, lots of things. But your absolute love for the Lord and love for his word shines all over you. But I feel certain that when you look in the mirror, you don't even see that, right?
All right.
Right. You know, you're distracted by, oh, man, that hair. What is that hair doing? Or, you know, my lipstick's crooked, or, you know, these glasses mm-hmm. don't look so fresh anymore, whatever. We don't see Christ in us, but I guarantee you other people do. And the longer you walk on this earth, on this planet with the Lord, the brighter you shine. His word says so, which means we can trust in it. And I love to hang around people who are spiritually mature. They may not be older than me. There are lots of young people at our church that are so on fire for God. I just like to get near them to bask in the warmth of it. So it isn't necessarily about years. But oh, please, Lord, as we put on more years, let us put on more faith and put on more trust and shine more clearly. Get out of the way. Let him shine, really, is the deal. Mm.
You know, the wisdom, too, as you said, from being in the Word, and I'd say wisdom's acquired, too, from you journeying long with the Lord, with you stewarding your hurts and stewarding your cancer and dealing with the twists and turns. I mean, to me, that's kind of warfare wisdom. You know, it's an acquired strength and acquired wisdom because you've had to navigate miles of this journey with God, unplanned things that God has shown himself faithful. And I just think there's something to be said about that, that people who are coming, you know, behind you can really learn from. And pray we never underestimate that, because I bet when you start talking, you realize, you know, I do have more to offer. And I know you're always so careful to give God all the glory. And I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I'm just saying, I bet you surprise yourself when you open your mouth and you go, you know, I have walked the earth for a while, and God has shown me a few things along the way. I do have some things to impart. I just think that's a powerful thing.
Well, we, of course, hope that anybody wants to hear it. That's the other question. All of our mature listeners are nodding their heads saying, yeah, that is the challenge. You know, we want to raise our hands and say, I have so much to share on this subject. And it's not always received by those who are younger and perhaps feel like we don't get it. You know, oh, you just don't understand what we're dealing with today. We do. We do. And we understand lots of other things, too. I don't know, rotary phones, you know, and handwritten notes. There's lots of stuff we had done before we did what we do now in the digital age. But I love that God uses all of it, and he brings people across our path. Just to back up for 1 second and talk about this director of women's ministry thing. Okay, this was not my plan. Are you kidding? I travel, I speak, I do all that. But last year, well before we knew what this year would hold, God said to me, I want you to now plant your feet in your church and minister where you are. Nice to travel, Liz, all that's great, but what I want you to now, in the years ahead, focus on is your own church. And I'm like, that's fantastic. Been on enough airplanes anyway, yay. Well, then here comes this year, this crazy year, where all of my plans to speak here, travel there, went right out the window. And yet, God already had a place for me to serve. And so it's just pure joy. We really can trust him. He knows what's next, and he will use all of it. I appreciated what you said earlier about him not causing, but man, will he use all of it. It will be for our good if we can just trust him in the process.
Amen and amen. Somebody give me an amen. We're going to pause here talking to Liz Curtis-Higgs. She's a runaway best-selling author, and the book we're drawing from today is 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path. When we come back, we'll talk about that one you've probably heard before. Commit to the Lord, whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. What does that mean? Will you be successful in everything you do? Lizzie will unpack that passage in just a moment. Get an amen. Wow, I love that song. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. Talking to Liz Curtis-Higgs, our good friend. We're drawing from the Proverbs today, specifically from her book, 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path. And before the break, we were talking about the call, you know, for believers that to shine ever brighter to the full light of day. As we go wise, grow mature, and God changes us and refines us, the light shines in our heart brighter and brighter. And just like Scripture talks about in the Gospel of John, that the darkness cannot extinguish it because Jesus lives in us. And just a quick word before we get to the next passage. I was thinking, you know, he wants us to shine brighter, but it doesn't always happen that way, right? With some believers, they may settle into, maybe they've been Christians a long time and they've settled into their identity as a quote-unquote Christian, but they've allowed their hearts to get bitter and hard. And you know, when we follow closely with Christ, when you follow Jesus, literally, like you're following him every day, you realize you don't have the option to hold a grudge, to get bitter, to stay the same. And I think it just speaks to the everydayness of our journey. So if you're kind of in that place, your heart's gone hard, you're holding a grudge, you're rehearsing a hurt, you know, you're just one prayer away from renewal, redemption. Give it to God. Roll it over onto his shoulders and see if he doesn't give you peace that passes understanding. He's your greatest defender. He will vindicate, but it is not yours to carry. It's not meant for you to carry. All right, Lizzie, let's talk about this chapter titled How We Roll. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. What say you?
Oh, well, I love what you just said about rolling your problems onto the Lord's shoulders, because guess what? Commit is one of the ways that this verse is often translated. Some say trust in the Lord, or another depend on the Lord. But the original Hebrew is galal, which means to roll, to physically push something away from you, to release it, to let it roll away. And so imagine that probably the best translation is the Amplified, roll your works upon the Lord. So you're going to take all the stuff that's on your shoulders, all the burdens that you carry, everything you just so tenderly addressed, the disappointments, the grudges, all of that bitterness, you get it off your shoulders and roll it onto his. I love anything I can picture in my head, you know, where there's a visual to it. And this is a visual rolling. Roll it onto his shoulders, because then it's not on our shoulders. So we can lift our heads, walk in newness of life, start over, be refreshed, because we're not bearing this burden. Commit your works, roll them onto the shoulders of the Lord, whatever you do. I love that too, because it covers all of us. Whether what you're doing is, you know, you're a college student trying to figure out whether you're even going to get to go back to school this fall, whether you're a young mother who did have a job, now you don't have a job and you're home with your child, yay, but the money's not there. Whether you're a mom with kids in school and you're trying to figure out how that's going to work, whether you're a retired person and trying to figure out how to connect with people. Every one of us has unique challenges during this walk we're in right now, and all of them, commit them to the Lord. Roll them onto his shoulders, whatever you do. Isn't it amazing how the Word of God speaks to our situation year after year after year? It is always timely. There's never a time you're going to open the Word of God and say, well, that's fine for back then, but that has no application today. I just have never found that to be true. It always applies. And so we roll our works. For some of us, that might be rolling that long to-do list. Now, I had a to-do list today. It was really a good one, Susie. It was a great Monday list. It had probably 10 items on it. I was on a roll. I really was. I was just checking them right off. Yep, go do this, go do that, good girl. Then I got a phone call, an important phone call that took about 45 minutes, but it entirely took the time of something on my list. Now what? Does that mean I was supposed to do it? Should I try and squeeze it in? Does that make me a bad person because I took that phone call? You have to roll that off and say, Lord, I did today what you put right in front of me on my path. I'm going to trust you that that item can roll onto tomorrow's schedule and get done when it needs to get done. I am very guilty of measuring a good day by being a productive day. Is that at all an issue for you, my friend?
Well, hello. Absolutely. 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 This is such a powerful conversation. It's so important. You know, one of the things that that I think at the core of what I just get out of bed for every day is to help as many people as possible be prepared to meet Jesus. I mean, to meet him and to give an account even, you know, where, I mean, we don't do this perfectly, but he does care about stewarding our gifts. You know what else he cares about? That we not carry burdens that are his alone. And I just think about, what if there's that briefest moment we look over our shoulder and think, I put undue stress on myself because I didn't take him at his word. I didn't trust him to do the heavy lifting. You know what I'm saying? If we can live now as if his promises are true, I really, even though life is hard, there will be joy in the journey. There'll be a sense of his presence in our midst. There is a better way for us to walk if we can truly trust this, what you're saying here, what scripture says, to entrust those cares to him and trust when Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. How do I come up underneath that? So I'm about that every day, you know?
Yep. And so when we roll this onto his shoulders, the rest of the verse says, and he will establish your plans. So that's a promise. It's a statement of fact. It doesn't say he might establish your plans, or it's a possibility, or, you know, keep your eyes open, it could happen. No, no. He will establish your plans. He leaves nothing to chance or whim. What we call interruptions, like that phone call I got today, he calls perfect timing. What we consider mistakes, he considers lessons. My deepest prayer through all of 2020 has been, Lord, what am I supposed to learn? This is an unusual, once-in-a-lifetime, I hope, please, Lord, experience we're all going through. What, help me not miss what it is you want to teach me. And the thing that's so beautiful is I think he has something individually to teach each of us, because we each have our own strengths and weaknesses. We each have different things that we need to learn. And so I think because he cares about us so individually, he has a specific plan for Susie in this year and a specific plan for Lizzie. But then he also has a collective plan for the church. Oh, is the church learning how to do the church in new ways? How do we do the church if we're not in the church building? How do we do the church if we can't physically be together? What is the church today? And so in all things, God is at work. I just don't want to miss it. I don't want to come to the end of this year and miss the lesson. And so God promises us the plans we turn over to him will work out well, the NLV says, because he is alive and well and at work in us.
Amen and amen. That's such good news, Lizzie. And, you know, you have such a pastor's heart, a shepherd's heart. I want to read you a text from a dear listener. Her name's Carissa. She's listening in from Colorado. She's had massive chronic health issues, environmental sensitivity. She's been homeless. She's lived on her friend's deck with all of her stuff in a plastic bin. I mean, and she's pressing in to trust God. And she says, my life has truly been far different than I could have ever imagined, and so has 2020. I knew it was going to be a significant year for me, but I was honestly expecting healing, breakthroughs, and amazing things before the first half of the year was over. Yet here I am, fighting harder than ever, and even more isolated physically than before due to compromised immune system. But God has done so many things I could never have imagined, such as connecting me to people all around the globe, continuing to show me that just because I haven't seen his promises fulfilled yet doesn't mean that he doesn't still plan to fulfill them on time. It's a daily battle to keep standing, believing, expecting, and not to lose heart, while also surrendering and resting in what he has said, no matter what I see. I know he's doing so much more in all of this year, more than we see at the moment, and one day we will look back in awe at his wisdom and deep purposes. I wonder if you have anything to say to Carissa, Lizzie.
So, Carissa, you are teaching us from a place of wisdom and experience that you would have come to this beautiful, deep understanding of God's promises being true in the situation you're in helps us hugely lay down our own temptation to whine, complain, ask God what's going on, why is this wrong for me? My dear sister, we need your words, and I thank you for them. What God is doing will be glorious because that's who he is, and we stand on tiptoe with you, waiting to see. I think even as we know that's coming, it's always helpful to me to remember God is already at work. Much of it is in the darkness, so we don't see it. But darkness is not darkness to him. So he sees it all. He is delighting in every step that's coming to that place for you that you finally want to get to. I thought 2020 was going to be an amazing year, too. In fact, my word for this year was new. Yeah, it's new, all right. Just not new in any of the ways that I was hoping it would be new. But I trust God for that word and that promise. It is going to be a good kind of new, even if it's not there yet. I thank you for sharing that. Did she text in or email
in? Yep, she texted in. She texted, yes.
Wow.
And listen to what Terry writes in. He says, Susie, what a godsend to have Lizzie back on the show. The two of you project so much biblical joy and exuberance. It's like radio manna from heaven, a double shot of spiritual caffeine. Well, Terry, that's about the best thing you could say. Thank you so much for that incredible encouragement. Well, Lizzie, in the book, in that particular chapter, you tell about a time when you were speaking in Chicago and you prayed backstage, Lord, I don't want them to see me. I want them to see you. Do you remember that story in the book?
Yeah. Yes, I did. I specifically said, Lord, I want to be invisible. That was the words I used. I want to be invisible. I only want them to see you. So I went out on the stage. Now, Susie, I've been at this decades. And usually I'm, you know, God is kind and things go well. But can I just be honest? It was not happening that morning. I don't know why. I just felt so disconnected with the audience. And, you know, I'm really reaching out to God. Even His words are coming out of my mouth. My heart is just crying out to Him, Lord, something's wrong. I don't know. And it's obviously not Him. So it's got to be me. Am I getting in the way of my own words? Please, Lord, do something. At that moment, the lights on the stage went out. So, you know, the audience could still see each other. They could not see me. I literally became invisible. Now, I don't know how most speakers would respond to that, but I laughed out loud because God had answered exactly what I asked Him to do, make me invisible. Now, here's the thing. It also made my notes invisible. The stage was dark, so I just kind of forgot notes and grabbed my microphone and walked closer, physically closer to the audience. I was up on a stage, which is never my favorite. I like to be right on the floor with everybody, but I got as close to them as I could, and I said, God has answered my prayer. Listen to this. And so I told him. I said, I asked God to make me invisible, and look how He answered it. Well, of course, they were suddenly engaged, Susie. You know, it's like if they weren't engaged before because of some weakness on my part as a speaker, suddenly we were all together in that room, in the same place, watching God work. And so I shared the rest of the message in the dark, but all they could hear was His light. I can't even tell you what that was like. It was one of the most transcendent speaking experiences I've ever had, and they couldn't see me. Isn't that wonderful? So, you know, just be careful what you pray, because God may give you precisely what you ask for. But it was such a learning opportunity for me. Also that, you know, that he's on this. And of course, the people backstage, you can imagine, they were freaking out. They couldn't figure out what went wrong. And they were thinking, this is all wrong. And God was laughing, saying, oh no, this is all right. Watch this. Watch me work. He is ever in what we're up to. And the sooner we figure that out and know it's Him, the more we can relax and go with it.
Come on, somebody. I mean, that's really where the adventure starts, when we really surrender our best laid plans. We're going to pause here, but really trust He's so sovereign, so ultimately in control. And when we ask and pray audacious prayers, He's going to answer in audacious ways at times that may surprise us. Carissa says, she texts back in crying here, thank you. I so often discount what I have to offer right now. And purpose is critical to hang on to. Please let Lizzie know how much her words encourage me. And Terry, thank you for your kind and encouraging words, too. When we come back, we're going to look at the proverb. You know it well, probably. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but the Lord's purposes prevail. We're going to talk with more with Liz Curtis Higgs. Lizzie to you, Lizzie to me. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a really great day. You know, it's possible to have joy in the midst of unrest all around you. It's possible to have faith and perspective and peace. It's possible. It's the invitation from God Most High, because when you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, new has come. His promises are true right now, as true as they've ever been. I'm talking with Liz Curtis-Higgs. I keep wanting to say Lizzie Curtis-Higgs, but Liz Curtis-Higgs. Lizzie is our good friend. She's a friend of the program and has been for a long time. We're drawing from the book, 31 Proverbs to Light Your Path. You've got several copies of this great hardcover book to give away. So insightful. And I love how she really breaks down the passages. Hey, and it's not just for women. We've got a few copies. So text the word book if you want in on the drawing to 877-933-2484. So, Lizzie, in your chapter, Best Laid Plans, you look at Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Unpack that one for us.
You bet. Well, so many plans. Many are the plans. I feel like that one was written just for me, because I don't have a sophisticated calendar online or anything like that. I have a Word document that just has everything in my life for the next 2 years. It is 27 pages. And I know, I wish I were kidding. And here's the problem with that kind of thing. It is not something to be proud of. You know what a long list like that says? It says, I can't say no. And sometimes God calls us to say no, but I can't say no. Why? Because I'm so worried somebody might be disappointed. It also says, I'm afraid to let go. I've got to keep it all. I'm going to have this on my plate. And you know what? There's a little square inch on my plate. I can pull a couple more vegetables on here. Oh, look, I found another little half inch on my plate, and I can bring this on. It says, I can't say no. It says, I'm afraid to let go. It says, my priorities are out of whack. And this is the big one for me. I don't want to speak into your life, Susie. This might not be you. But a really heavy-duty to-do schedule says, I don't trust anyone else to get the job done. So I'm just going to lay that there in case that applies to anybody listening to my voice right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it is hard for us when we lay out all these plans. We really are impressed with our own plans. I just have to say that. I have been known to send my plans for the day to friends to say, could you pray, because this list is really long. Am I really sending them that list so they'll pray over each item, or am I really hoping they'll be impressed and say, wow, she does so much? I mean, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, who are we trying to impress with this list? And then are we willing to understand that this list that is in our hearts, our human hearts, is not what probably is actually going to get done. But here's another one of our buts in the Bible that I love. But it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And so it isn't about our planning. I plan a good plan. Oh, my goodness. It's my favorite part of being this director of women's ministry team things. I get to do very intense planning. I love it, minute by minute. And then God laughs. We've got an event coming up in October. We're on Plan C. I mean, that's literally what it's called, Plan C, because Plan A went out the window, then Plan B went out the window. Now we're at Plan C. Each one of those plans carefully thought out, and then God laughed. Isn't that the joke? You know, if you want to hear God laugh, show him your plans. Well, he's laughing because I keep handing him plans, and he's saying to me, Liz, when are you going to understand? It is my purpose that will prevail. So what does that call us to do? It calls us to seek him first. What do you have for me today, Lord? I hand you not a list of plans I'm hoping you'll bless. Lord, I'm just going to give you this blank piece of paper. Lord, what would you have me do today? I guarantee you he's not going to leave you sitting around twiddling your thumbs and you know, watching Netflix. He has a plan for you. He does. And if we can understand, now, it doesn't mean he is with us in the planning stages. I think he can be. But I always think in terms of writing it in invisible ink so that he can erase that which is not part of his purpose for my day or the anybody else's day who's going to cross my path, because his plan will prevail. And the word literally means victorious. Literally, the one left standing, the plan left standing is his. It's the one that's victorious. His purpose, the NIRV says, wins out in the end. I take that as huge encouragement, because right now we don't know what the end is or when the end is. We don't have the answers we might have had months ago about what this year will hold. That is so scary for most of us, maybe all of us, that this is a time when we have to just stand back and say, Lord, I'm just going to stop planning, because my plans are thwarted. My plans just remind me of how much I'm not in charge. My plans are fruitless. But Lord, your plans always prevail. Here is what happens when God wins. Revelation 21:4. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, which means there will only be joy. And Psalm 33:11 says, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. And that includes this generation. That includes what we're all going through right now. I would love to have answers. I said that early in our hour together. If we could find somebody, Susie, who could come on and tell us what's coming next, boy, that would be a show that the world would want to hear. But there is no one like that except God. And so we turn to him and we say, Lord, everything is yours, including every hour of every day. Please, Lord, help us let go.
As you're talking, I'm thinking of Psalm 90:12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And I did a whole study on that word in a passage. And to number our days is to anoint the day, to appoint the day, to claim the day as unto God, you know. And I mean, to really, like, literally slip out of your bed onto your knees every morning, anoint the day. Say, this belongs to you, Lord, you know, claim the day. And it says, teach us to number the days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So to approach each day is, I don't know if I have tomorrow, but I have today. It shows great wisdom. I will gain a heart of wisdom as I offer my minutes to you, Lord. But, you know, I got to say, there's a tension there, as far as there are some people who just wing everything and call it God. And maybe God's wired them that way and things sort of work out for them. But not everybody's wired that way. And I think there is something, wisdom, to not wing it all the time, to steward your assignment, but then also to hold it loosely, especially in this day when everything, so many moving targets, so many variables. Do you know what I'm saying? Where he's wired us all so differently. He's wired some to just kind of bounce through life and wing it. And planners kind of grind their teeth going, how in the world does that always work out? But there are, he's made us all different. You know what I'm saying? So I do feel like there's a place for a plan, but especially now to hold it absolutely loosely and to say, ultimately, Lord, your purposes will prevail in me. What do you say to that?
Well, yes, because I have a plan A, plan B, C, plan C. God has the plan, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I have to, because of my nature, and he made me this way, so it's okay, is that planning piece, and he uses it, even just helping me think things through. It's a process. It's just one I need. But like I said, it has got to be written down in invisible, or not invisible, erasable ink is what I really want to say. Erasable ink. We used to have erasable ink pens, and I think they actually discontinued those because it was too dangerous for checks. But, you know, where you want to put it down in writing, but let it go instantly. God, if you have a better plan, I stand ready to follow you, to walk in your steps. We have time really only for one more verse, and it's actually probably most people's very favorite scripture in the Bible, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. What an incredible two verses to hang your hat on in this time. Trust in the Lord, period. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not in your own wisdom, not in your own experience, not in your own knowledge. And lean not on your own understanding. I love that, because how could you lean on understanding anyway? When you think about it, where would you put your weight? How could you do that? You'd fall right over. It's not a load-bearing wall. He, however, is. In all your ways, submit to him. So including all those plans, friend, all those things you want to do, all those things you thought you could do this year. And he will, it's a promise, make your paths straight. And they'll grow brighter and brighter, just as we said in our first scripture this hour, until the full light of day. The full light of day is coming. In the meantime, as we hold hands, or maybe not, as we stand 6 feet apart, but we yet are walking together, all of us, the church, walking together, following him. We just have to follow harder than we ever had before.
Amen. Well, Lizzie, this has been great conversation. I want to just read this last line from her book. God is in control whether we acknowledge his sovereignty or not. We do not make him Lord. He is Lord. The moment we accept that reality, the very second we bend our hearts and knees to his power and might, we find our loving God has already taken us by the hand. I pray you found some encouragement here. We'll meet you back. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.